Monday, September 2nd. A holiday in the United States, but in Europe, just another day of the war. London had another air raid alarm this morning after a 17-hour lull. But German planes raided many other English cities during the night. And British planes attacked Berlin and Munich and Sardinia, Italy's big airplane base between Italy and Spain, and the Varese industrial district of northwest Italy. Now the news direct from Europe, Berlin, London, and Rome. First, a report from the German capital by Edwin Hartridge.
This is Berlin. Last night we had another air raid, or an air raid alarm, for Berlin. Because apparently no bombs were dropped in the city or in the suburbs, and little anti-aircraft fire was heard. The German news agency this morning reports that British planes attempted to raid the German capital, but were driven back by anti-aircraft fire. No bombs dropped on the city. The raid lasted about 45 minutes. This morning on my way to the studio, I passed two mementos of Saturday night's air raid. Several bombs fell in the pier garden, and they failed to explode. Now the bombs are covered up with earth, sandbags, and straw mattresses. For there is the fear that there might be delayed field bombs, which sometimes go off hours or even days after they have landed. The area in the vicinity of the bombs is roped off so that no pedestrians can get near them. The delicate job of handling dead bombs has created new jobs for prisoners in concentration camps. For those prisoners who volunteer for this work, there are special rewards. They apply to join special bomb squads, and provided they are not killed in the work, they are then released to the concentration camps. This morning, there is news that the German Air Force is continuing its attacks against England. The official agency reports that in the early hours of this morning, German bombers took off military targets in southeast England. There have been fierce air battles reported between the British planes and the raiders, but at this moment, no further details are available in Berlin to the aerial battlefield. Also, we have no information at this end whether London is one of the objectives in these operations. News about the air raid seems to be the dominant thing both in conversations and in the press. And along this line, I might report that the blackout seems to be getting blacker this last week. Whether this is due to a change in the weather or what, I don't know. However, the police have created special patrols to spend their time at night checking on all quarters of the city in violation of the blackout regulations. And the punishment for each offense is something unique. Every time a household or an individual is found guilty, the electricity is shut off for a period of 8 days. This seems to be a very practical punishment for demonstrating that a blackout should be just that. Dr. Goebbels made a speech at Katowice yesterday evening, marking the first anniversary of the Polish campaign. His main point was to assure his listeners that the long talk about planning offensive against England would start, and I quote, at the decisive hour to be determined by the Fuhrer. Dr. Goebbels then went on to say that German people were more united than ever before, that they had the best and most gallant army in the field, which piled up one victory after another, and that Germany was now immune against the British blockade and against starvation. The propaganda minister added that Germany was also immune against the poison of British lies. He said that, quote, everywhere in the world, the clear, most objective and true reports of German news have proved to be successful against British lies. England is alone. England cherishes the vain hope that it can conceal itself by hiding in the autumn mist. The Fuhrer will attack when the right hour has come. End of quote. The magazine Neues Volk, published by the racial political office of the National Socialist Party, lays down some principles so that the German or Nordic Aryan race may be kept pure. German people are advised that the birth rate must increase so that in another 20 years, Germany will not have to call on foreign labor. Secondly, labor must be recruited only from Germanic people so that the elements of the East will be eliminated. And thirdly, as long as Germany must be, quote, advised and adopted to the people of other races, especially the Slavs, every German man and woman has the duty to avoid association with them. The same principles must be applied to the foreigners of other races. This is Edwin Hartridge, returning now to Columbia in New York.
This is New York. Here's a dispatch from Vichy, France. Reports described as authoritative say that British planes today dropped 12 bombs on the center of Chartres, an important German air base in occupied France. The bombs are said to have missed the famous Chartres Cathedral by 400 feet. It also is said that the port and railroad station at Boulogne and the port and airfield at Cherbourg were damaged by British bombers. Now the latest news reported from the British capital by Eric Severide. Go ahead, London.
This is London. London was just going back to work this morning when the air raid sirens went off again, around 8 o'clock. This alarm lasted something less than an hour. When it was over, news messages reported that a formation of bombers had tried to reach London from the southeast, but were broken up. They ran into a heavy anti-aircraft barrage, and three were reported knocked down. British fighters then attacked the main formation of Germans and destroyed two more. Where the bombs were dropped, we don't yet know. That was the 20th air raid alarm London has had since a week ago yesterday. They have lasted a total of 33 hours. At that rate, if one dutifully stayed in his shelter, he would lose more than one day a week just taking cover. Among this morning's raiders were two very large four-engine German planes. The first of these new planes were sighted yesterday. We have no details of last night's RAF raid on Berlin except a brief agency message. It was the sixth raid over the German capital in 8 days. There were alarms in Switzerland and planes were reported traveling south. And the Italian communique that's just come to London says British bombers are over northern Italy again. Out on the Isle of Man in the Irish Sea, hundreds of German nationals are interned in camps. They have now had their first air raid alarm. A German bomber approached the island, and the prisoners went to cover, but a Spitfire is believed to have shot down the raider. Prime Minister Churchill believes Britain is winning the war in the air. He said so in a message of congratulations sent to the bomber squadrons of the RAF. He said, I quote, "Command of the air is being gradually and painfully, but nonetheless remorselessly, wrested from the Nazi criminals who hope by this means to terrorize and dominate European civilization," unquote. He compared British bombing crews who bring back their bombs from Berlin when they can't see their targets with what he called the wanton cruelty of German flyers. They, he said, have wrecked nearly 1,000 homes and shops in the resort town of Ramsgate. Another British town received heavy damage in one of yesterday's raids. This was a town in the Thames estuary. 30 to 40 heavy bombs are reported to have fallen right across the heart of the city. The planes apparently were after the docks, but they dropped their load before they could reach them because of fighter interception. By tonight, or tomorrow morning, all the 320 British children from the torpedoed liner, which was taking them to Canada, will be back home with their families. They were 2 nights at sea after the torpedoing, without heavy clothes. But most of them, they tell us, want to make another start for Canada. The London Press this morning prints the whole story, but there is a noticeable lack of editorial indignation about the affair. I think most British people were not greatly surprised. They've had a feeling that something like this was bound to happen sooner or later. And the story doesn't even make the front pages of the afternoon papers at all. British civilians are developing the same state of mind about German flyers that we saw among the French and Belgians. In northern France, when a man came down in a parachute, the gendarmes had to race the farmers and village women to the victim in order to protect his life. Yesterday, a British crowd in an unpleasant mood closed in on a flyer who had just bailed out. He was saved by a bus driver, and very fortunately, because he turned out to be English. War correspondents of London papers in Egypt report this morning that the British and Italian armies on the western desert border are poised for action. They still expect Mussolini to ring up the curtain for a general attack from Libya when the weather turns cool. Intelligence reports of new Italian passport parts and camouflage supply dumps and masked men and guns in remote ravines are coming into the British command every day. And while more areas of French Central Africa are coming over to General de Gaulle, we're getting reports of additional French flyers joining the British. They come from the French Moroccan airport. Spanish reports say 19 French warplanes have flown into Gibraltar from North Africa in the last month. Four French bombers and a fighter landed yesterday at the Rock, and two seaplanes the day before. This is London. I return you to CBS, New York.
This is New York, and here's the latest news from the Balkans. Bucharest reports say the police have been ordered to take stern measures against street demonstrators after a warning by Germany and Italy that the angry demonstrations protesting the transfer of Transylvanian territory from Romania to Hungary must be stopped. Now the latest news from the Italian capital, reported by Cecil Brown. Go ahead, Rome.
This is Rome. British planes last night raided northern Italy and the island of Sardinia. The Italian high command announced that the raiders dropped numerous bombs at random in the country areas of Sardinia. The communique reports that three of these British bombers were shot down by anti-aircraft fire. There were no casualties, says the bulletin, and no material damage. Other British bombers, coming from the direction of Switzerland, raided Piedmont and Lombardy. The high command says they were met with the prompt intervention of anti-aircraft batteries and fascist fighter planes. The bulletin says the British found it impossible to reach their intended objectives, so they dropped four bombs on a village in the Borghese district. There were no casualties and no appreciable damage to buildings. Two Italian reconnaissance planes have not returned to their bases. The communique reports that in a British raid over Tobruk in Libya, which we announced yesterday, a field hospital was hit by a British bomb. One of the patients was seriously wounded. Anti-aircraft guns of the Royal Italian Navy brought down one of the British raiders over Tobruk. Royal Air Force planes also struck at Italian bases in East Africa. In an attack on the island of Harmil in the Red Sea and 80 miles from Massawa, one of the British planes was shot down. Its crew of three was taken prisoner. And still another British plane was reported shot down during a raid on Assad in Eritrea. The communique adds that there was slight material damage and eight wounded, including Italians and natives. The only Italian offensive action reported today took place in the Anglo-Egyptian Sudan. The high command says that Italian planes have successfully attacked an enemy troop encampment with shrapnel bombs and machine gun fire. The encampment is south of Murmuran, beyond Kassala. Kassala, you recall, is now an Italian outpost 18 miles from the border of Ethiopia. And you may recall a few days ago, the Italians repulsed a British attack on Eritrea at the wells of Adar Day. At the time, they reported 10 Australians left dead on the field. Well, today, this figure was faced at 22 dead. In addition, an armored car was captured. The box score in the operations today shows six British planes shot down, two Italian machines missing. We have no reports in the papers here of disturbances in Romania against giving up Transylvania. The Rome newspaper messenger gives a hint that there may have been some trouble. The paper quotes the Romanian Minister of the Interior as saying that a few demonstrations of a political character had been allowed, but they were now forbidden. On the other hand, the Romanian newspapers are quoted here as saying that the force of circumstances was stronger than the Romanian wishes about Transylvania. The impression here in Rome is that whatever the attitude of the Romanian people may be at the moment, the arbitration is an accomplished fact. In other words, Romania has been partitioned and she will remain partitioned. The Pope Rodi Roma reports today that the whereabouts of King George is a mystery. It carries a story from Bern, Switzerland to that effect. The messenger prints exactly the same story, word for word, but its story comes under a dateline of San Sebastian, Spain. The Messaggero headline puts it this way. The British capital is too dangerous for the nerves of King George. Mussolini's newspaper, the Popolo d'Italia, is renewing its campaign to keep jazz out of Italy. The paper says it is absolutely extraneous to the spirit and good taste of fascism. Moreover, it's pointed out that jazz is imported from the United States and Great Britain. The paper indicates that should be reason enough to bar such music. Let there be no more imitation of jazz, the paper adds. Let Italians dance to traditional Italian music. So if the Duce's paper has any influence with the authorities, then in this country, playing jazz will soon be just another victim of the war. This is Cecil Brown in Rome. I return you now to CBS in New York.
And here's the news from Washington, briefly. Official Washington is quiet today as the nation's leaders take a brief holiday rest. Labor rallies are to be held at various points, but only in the War Department is there a notable spurt of activity. Experts of this division are preparing to mobilize 60,500 National Guardsmen from 26 states into the Army of September 16th. The men are to be mustered for a year of military training. And for this news, Columbia concludes this regular morning report of European development. Edwin Hartridge spoke from Berlin, Eric Severide reported from London, and Cecil Brown from Rome. Larry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.